What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Your Washington Commanders are 5-2 and are just kicking teams' asses. Third win this season of 3 touchdowns or more. 5-2. Good morning, Brian Mitchell. The Commanders might be a wagon.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Now, yesterday was a really fascinating day to be at the game. Shout out to all the people that were there. I think people really enjoyed it. I almost think there was a little bit of ignorance is bliss being there because you weren't inundated with like the constant, really non-updates of Jaden's condition. But yesterday, the vibe in that stadium between the Darryl Green ceremony, which pregame out in Legends Plaza was jumping. People were going nuts. Darryl gave a 15-minute speech.
Yeah, Darryl went out there dancing. I had never seen Darryl dance. I say, oh, hold on now. Is that D. Green or somebody else?
It was very, very cool. And then, you know, the game starts. Jaden busts the long run. And everybody's excited. And then he gets hit. And you can tell it's a little awkward coming down. He tries to stiff arm that dude, then gets hit from the other side. We can have a discussion about the run and all these things, but
he was trying to go down, and that was a freak accident when someone is right on your back like that, and it's happened many a time where you go to go down and then they kind of land on top of you and fold you a little bit. So it's not. I know everybody gonna start to say, "Oh, he shouldn't run." Shut the hell up. Yes, he should.
I mean, at this point, we're 6 games into this, right? Running is a part of who he is.
Hell yeah.
And, like, you're not taking that away. If you want to have this debate, if he should have gone out of bounds or don't cut it inside, cut it outside, we've seen enough now that it's entirely possible he takes that thing 75 and it's a house call.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think he's also a young man. Does anybody remember when they were a young man? You didn't think. You rarely, and I'm not talking about football players. I'm talking about just being a 23-year-old man. You rarely thought of the possible negative consequences.
Well, I don't.
You just think, I'm going.
I think in football, you can't think about the negative consequences. But you know what? Ultimately, you could do every damn thing you're supposed to and still get hurt in football.
Totally.
So
the biggest hits he's taken have been in the pocket.
When he was thinking about going down, you know why he was thinking about going down? Because he's heard everybody say he should go down. If he had done what he probably would have ordinarily done, he probably wouldn't get hurt right there.
And then, so the long run, I think, is where he at least aggravates it. And then on the short run, where he very awkwardly goes down near the goal line, well, I think it was a 7-yard gain to the left side. That's when you knew something was up. When he got up after the long run, it's like, all right, something doesn't look right. After that 7-yard run, you're like, okay, something's amiss.
But you knew something was wrong, and I think the reason he went down, like many people thinking he got hurt on that play right there.
I think he got hurt on the long
run. You can't be that dumbfounded and not know about sports. But he went down there because he felt something, and he knew. And he's like, okay, let me get this checked out. And now, you know, we'll find out what happens later on in the day or whenever they come out with their new reports. But like you said, after the game, he was jovial. I don't know why, but he was happy. It didn't seem like he was moving any strange way to me.
The only thing I noticed was when he was coming off the field, he was doing like the motion to kind of hype the crowd up. You know what I mean? Like raising your arms. And I think in that moment, he kind of forgot how his left side felt. Mm-hmm. And his right arm went up, no problem. And his left arm kind of like hit a pause button. And then he kind of realized to tighten that shoulder in.
I'll throw something out there, and I don't guess people think of this. Like, we automatically assume it's a rib. I'm thinking hip pointer. Hip pointer affects your whole left side. Okay?
That high up?
Ooh, bro. The hip pointer affects every damn thing from your foot all the way up. And you go to move anything on left, sneezing, laughing, anything, it hurts. So when you get hit awkwardly, sometimes that happens. And they call it a hip pointer, but guess what? It's not in your actual hip. It's up around that little, what you call those, the abdominal obliques, the little, the fat part.
Yeah,
the inner tube size that most people have.
Yeah.
That is where it hurts like hell. And I played with it. You know, went into the game with the hip point, the guy hit awkwardly, and guess what? The hip point left. I guess the nerve that was pinching, they knocked it out. We'll see. I don't want to see. We're not doctors, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think enough people are going to speculate, but I'm going to be honest. DQ, I thought, handled it really well in postgame, saying, you know, the truth of the matter, I don't have an update. I'm not going to have an update till tomorrow. Dan Quinn set to talk today at 3:30. You're going to see, just based on the way the world is, a million non-update updates throughout the day, right? There's going to be insiders, real and fake, people with sources, real and fake, all saying that you know, oh, what we know, what we concrete know, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt. He tried to come back in the game, tried to warm back up. Whether it was his call, Dan Quinn said it was the medical staff, said, nope, you're out. Comes over to the sideline, slams his helmet, goes in. The reports are he got x-rays. Nothing was broken. X-rays tell you 40% of the story. The MRI tells you all the other stuff. X-rays tell you if something's broken or not. There's a lot of other stuff that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sprain. Yeah, you got ligaments, you got muscles. You could just have a deep bone bruise. Like, yeah. A lot can happen there. And until the imaging comes back, and, dude, you got to let the swelling go down. They always say with these guys, one day after the injury, you got to see how it feels. And then when they test it again. So this is not going to be resolved today. I think there's a very low chance that DQ at 3:30 says, hey, Jaden's good to go. Can't wait for practice to start on Wednesday. I think this is going to be an updated throughout the week type of thing, because say Jaden practices Thursday, which I think is kind of reasonable. I imagine Wednesday would be a rest day just after getting popped, right? They still need to see how he responds from practicing before there's any sort of declaration. And I think for me, watching him in the locker room last night, listening to the guys that clearly had talked to him in the second half, he feels like he's going to be fine. His mom tweeted out, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Being fine and missing a game or two are different results.
They are.
And I think folks got to keep their eye on the very big picture.
And I think the ultimate thing here is he probably has the mindset he can go.
Right.
And probably can, but they're gonna be cautious if it's anything, you know how that'll go with them.
100%.
They're gonna definitely be cautious, and that's understandable. But the ultimate thing is, listen, man. He has to play ball, and you saw that team when it happened. Everybody else did their jobs and took up for it, you know. And that, yes, it was the Panthers, but still, any team at any time could beat your ass in a football game. So. The
team effort yesterday was super impressive.
They're taking steps forward.
Mariota was super impressive.
Oh, yes. And Reeves came off the field, and the special teams were knocking heads yesterday. You know? He said, that's for you, B-Mitch.
So, specials were
I'm
great.
I'm loving it, dog. Listen, I'm having a good time watching it, covering this thing now. I know people always, when they were losing, they thought it was, like, easy and cool for us to cover it. No. That's hard as hell to cover something bad all the time. But when it's this damn good, easy to cover.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked last night, and you're like, there is a combination going, yesterday especially, of with honoring Daryl Green and how cool that was and how many former players were back in the building and just in good spirits. And there was no, let's be real, there have been times where they've gotten a bunch of players back in that building and they are, some guys, I don't want to speak for everybody, but some guys to varying degrees are unhappy with how they're treated, even when they're brought back for Alumni Day, right?
Yep.
There was none of that yesterday. The vibe from the former players was incredible. And, dude, it was former players that I hadn't seen back. Alfred Morris, saw Anthony Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Doc's buddy, Clarence Vaughn, made a point of introducing himself to me, which was really cool, and he didn't need to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
man, Clarence introduced himself to everybody, man. Clarence.
I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to be appreciative. I just think there's so much positive off the field, and then it's actually being matched by positive on the field. And I think that combination, that cocktail of bringing back the past and moving forward as a winning organization is just is like the most powerful elixir they can serve, dude. And you can feel that when you're at the games.
What it is, man, and I'm going to say this. I don't care what your organization is. If everybody is treated the same and not some people treated better than others or like they're more than others, you're going to have that type of outcome. When everybody's working for the same cause like that team is doing right now, that's going to happen. And every business needs to pick that up. Every business needs to pick that up.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everybody's kind of pulling the same weight and pulling the same rope, whatever you want to call it. And it's an amazing kind of feeling out there. And I don't know that it will continue, right?
I think it will.
This Jaden situation could impact a lot because you don't get to play the Panthers every week.
It could, but I just think that the overall dynamic has changed. Where I told you, I was told by someone a few weeks ago that this is what you get when everybody's working for the same common goal, same common cause. You know that when Dan was here, he had his crew, and we had people in the sales department and people and coaches that all were working for their own goal, their own trying to promote themselves, per se. Today, everybody cares about everybody. You know, they work for each other. And if you get that, you're going to be okay.
Well, and when you're able to run the ball. Like
and the people up top also.
Yeah.
They treat everybody equally as they're important. Not just some people, not others.
Yeah, just yesterday, I'm not seeking anybody out because I think it's important to allow these folks in the new ownership group to have their space, man. Like, not everything is a media opportunity. And at some point, like, we don't need to take pictures of Josh Harris every time he walks around. Like, he's the owner. He's chilling. He'll high-five people.
Well, they're going to do it for about a year and a half, 2 years, because, you know what? It never happened before.
I know, but we're...
And if the other guy walked around, he had 45 people standing around.
That's what I'm saying, but we're, like, kind of a year and a half into this now.
But
I hear you. I'm just saying, when I have conversations with folks, a lot of times it's just, like, coincidental. I'm there, they're there, and they just talk to me.
Yeah.
And that never happened. And, dude, I saw David Tepper before the game. I was trying to find D. Hall on the sideline. I got to speak with his wife and his kids, but he's coaching, so he's doing coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was there, I was talking with the security guy there, and I was like, who is Tepper? Because the owner usually pregame is down on the sideline, kind of, you know, saying hello to folks, mm-hmm. mixing it up. And, dude, I don't know him. I'm not pretending. I don't know the situation. But, B, tell me who this reminds you of. He was standing by himself, intently kind of staring out. Nobody around him. Nobody talking to him. He had, like, a security dude 5-7 yards away. And you could tell he had, like, a handler, like this dude that went everywhere he went,
mm-hmm.
that was talking to people. But then I watched him leave the field, go down the tunnel, and he had this vacant stare where he kind of like looked through people and that really nobody around him mattered. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I'm just like, damn, this dude gives me Dan vibes. Like, that's just how Dan acted on the sidelines. And it was just like between last week with the Browns, and 2 weeks ago with the Browns and Watson and everything they got going, and then playing the Panthers, it is, and seeing how they handled Darryl Green and how they are investing into the stadium, it's an old beat up stadium. It's not going to be, it's not going
to
be Jerry.
They did what they could,
but they're trying
to try to get it right.
Right. And just the in-game production. How about having real people come sing the national anthem and having a giant flag? Like, those are the easy, low-hanging fruit things that just did not happen. That is so rewarding, and it makes you feel like this operation has a real chance going forward.
I believe so.
And nobody knows what's going to happen with Jaden. The MRI is going to reveal it. I think you got to look at this weekend as at least a coin flip, if he plays or if he doesn't. But everyone I spoke to last night, it seems like they avoided anything major, anything long-term.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's more important. I know people are caught up in number one versus number two, Caleb versus Jaden this weekend, and maybe he plays, and maybe he throws for 7 touchdowns. Nobody's ruling it out, but mm-hmm. I think the answer has to be long term. And
I think we started this whole thing off when they hired Adam by saying that they are going to build something for the long term, for the long haul. And just like last week, we were talking about the trade deadline, and there were people that called in and said they need to hold the course, stick to what their plans were. Same thing here. You know, it's not, and the whole thing is we see something and all of a sudden we assume that it's automatically going to happen. One thing we say at the beginning of the season every time, depending on injuries, because that can happen at any damn time.
And I think, you know, some of the criticisms I saw last night were, I think they had 3 designed runs for Jaden in their first 5 or 6 plays. Maybe after you see him, especially after the 7-yard gain, you get away from that. There's a script in place, but I don't even know that all of them were designed.
After what 7-yard play? The one where he went down?
So there was the 47, then the 7 where he went down real awkward, yeah. And then there was another run.
Mm-hmm.
That last run may have been unnecessary in hindsight. I think when you've got an offense cooking like this and a play caller that's that dialed in, not everything needs to be, you know, dissected posthumously. Like
that's the problem. Like when they go to do the first 12, 15, whatever the hell they do, you know who's picking most of those plays with the coach?
Quarterback.
Damn quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay? And if a guy has the ability to do it and have the willingness to do it, you're going to do it. Cliff didn't know on the first one he called the dude going to go 50-something yards. And trying to protect himself, somebody falls on top of him. He didn't know that. But when he got up, he was still in the game calling it. Still going. So the whole thing is, can we allow them to do their job? Because we gonna question everything, but it gets to a point where we're not around it enough to know exactly what's going on with the play calling and the plays and the players and all that.
They also, I believe, have the highest scoring offense in the NFL. Something's working. Their run game is outrageous. I think if you want to, in the light of the injury, say, oh my God, Jaden's got to go out of bounds, or oh my God, Cliff's got to call less run plays. I think you're missing the point. I think things could have gone differently on those runs, but you got to let these guys do what they're doing because it's pro football and they're winning games and they're stacking up points, and that's the freaking goal. Like, maybe things over time evolve, but this is the plan and it's working. So what the hell are you talking about?
You got a guy who can do multiple things on the field, let him do it.